Luke 18:1-8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?"
Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you and we honor you for this time we have together. Now, God, you are the potter. We are the clay. Mold us, shake us, make us, break us to what you need us to be for this experience. Holy Spirit, we give you full authority. Minister with our minds, speak with our tongue, love with our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 7 and 8 grabs our attention this morning. "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cries out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice quickly. And however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" For the time that's mine, I just want to preach this morning from the title, Radical Justice. Radical Justice. Paul Lewis Metzger defines biblical justice and Christianity today as making individuals, community, and the cosmos whole in upholding both goodness and impartiality. Which means injustice could be defined as the brokenness of community, individuals, and the cosmos from upholding evil and partiality. The question for us as the church is, are we upholding the biblical mandate to bring justice to the world? The prophet Micah said these words in Micah 6:8. "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of us?" And he says, "To act justly, to love mercy, and walk humble before our God." In other words, justice starts with our own actions. The question for us this morning, do our actions move us to wholeness, or are we continuing the cycle of brokenness individually, communally, as well as in the cosmology? Biblical justice takes that which is broken and makes it whole again. Too many times we want justice to be used as an avenger to inflict punishment with the intent of seeing justice done, or a revenger that gives retaliation, inflicts pain and harm. But we want people to be paid back for what they've done wrong. It's how we have defined justice. But what makes God's justice radical is that he wants all parties to be whole. He wants every party to be whole. In 2015, when Freddie Gray died and Baltimore experienced the unrest, it has been over 50 years since the last unrest, which was Martin Luther King's death. We had experienced protests and injustice and mistreatment of the members in the community. We're experiencing the injustice from the police. We found the community rendering injustice through avenging and trying to get justice through avenging and revenging, or be by dehumanizing. The police department had dehumanized the community, and the community in 2015 had dehumanized the police. Bob and I hit the streets to help bring wholeness in the face of brokenness in our city. And upon arrival of the Western District Police Station, we approached the line between the protester and the police. We heard the resonant cry from the crowd of protesters saying, "No justice, no peace." We heard the voice of the powerless crying out and yelling to the powerful. They were yelling, "No justice, no peace." Justice is the business of restoration, but peace is shalom, which means nothing missing, nothing broken. In other words, where there is restoration, there is shalom. And the protests were crying out, where there is no restoration, there is brokenness, there is emptiness. Where there's no justice, there is no peace. We were then invited in the police station to discuss, how do we become whole? How can we restore that which was missing and that which was broken? It started with the powerful owning of the wrong by the powerful and the powerless being heard. It is in that each person was able to hear each other. Too many times we use justice to reflect our desires, but justice is God's desire. We cannot be advocates of justice and fail to understand that our justice as Christians must be married to God's grace. In this season, I see a whole lot of resonance about justice, but I'm seeing very little grace. Justice is never disconnected from God's grace. Justice demands for you to get what you deserve, but grace celebrates the fact that we did not get what we deserve. You can't ask for retributive justice for your enemy and fail to acknowledge the retributive grace when you were an enemy. You can't ask for restorative justice detached from your own restorative grace. You can't ask for distributive justice detached from your own distributive grace. You can't ask for procedural justice and detached from your own procedural grace. We can't grab hold to the injustice and let go of God's grace. We can't speak to racial injustice without holding on to God's grace. We can't speak to economic injustice without speaking with God's grace. We can't speak to systematic injustice without speaking with God's grace. We can't speak to social injustice without speaking with God's grace. We can't speak political injustice without speaking with God's grace. Biblical justice means that God is our defender and he goes to the broken and he makes it whole again. He's a defender to the defenseless. He's a defender to the poor. He's a defender to the powerless. He is the defender, not the avenger or the revenger. He is the one that makes things whole. As Christians, we're doing a lot of yelling across the aisles over the issues of justice. But this is my question for every Christian. Are you trying to be right or are you trying to be whole? Are you trying to be correct? Are you trying to have correctness or are you trying to have wholeness? Our Jesus is going after wholeness. James 1 and 26 and 7, 27 says these words. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep tight rein on their tongues deceives themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. In our text this morning, Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples. And the message to his disciples is that when you are mistreated, injustice shows its face, and it seems like things are going wrong, he says to his disciples, keep praying and don't give up. Jesus is explaining that in between the already and the not yet, that you cannot give up. In between the first coming and the second coming, don't stop praying. And don't give up, because our Christ understands about our injustice. Christ experienced dishonor. Christ was denied his rightful place. Christ's words had been unappreciated. Christ had been assaulted. Christ has been denied. Christ has been discriminated upon. Christ was faced with rejection. Christ has experienced racial hostility. Christ has experienced persecution. That Christ, the hand of evil around this world, killed our Christ. Christ is helping his disciples to understand anything you're going through and anything you experience. Don't stop praying and don't give up. In the face of disappointment in praying, don't stop praying and don't give up. In the face of a pandemic, don't stop praying and don't give up. In the face of violence, don't stop praying and don't give up. In the face of political turmoil, don't stop praying and don't, in the face of loss, don't stop praying and don't give up. In the face of political divisiveness, don't stop praying and don't give up. In the face of subjugation, don't stop praying and don't give up. In the face of dehumanization, don't stop praying and don't give up. Jesus tells his disciples, don't stop praying and don't give up. And then he goes on and tells a story of a parable. He tells a story of an unknown town. And in this town, there was a judge who was unjust. He didn't have any reverence for God and he didn't have compassion for people. There was a widow who kept coming to him asking the judge to grant me justice. But the judge refused. But the woman kept coming back and coming back and coming back. But the judge said, even though the judge did not respect God and even though the judge didn't care about people, this judge finally decided that he would give this woman justice. And not only would he give, why did he give her justice? It's because, and he said these words, I'm grant you justice, but because I don't want you to attack me. God is teaching that justice is delayed, but justice is not denied. An unjust judge who doesn't care about God or people or compassion for people can bring justice to the poor and the powerless. And surely, he says, a God who is just, a God who is righteous, can bring justice to you and to me. So I guess the question is for you, Grace City, how do you know justice is delayed but not denied? I know that justice is not denied because God hears the resonant cry of the powerless. God can hear the cry of the powerless. Look at verse 7. He says, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cries out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? This woman symbolizes a powerless. She has been defrauded and now she's destitute. She was a widow who was absent from a husband and with no culturally or financially support, no one to cover her. She's alone, she's destitute, she's powerless, she's helpless, she's unloved, she's uncared for. But she never uses any of her circumstances as an excuse not to cry out for justice. She never stopped asking for the proper treatment in which a widow deserves. See, a widow, she knew her right. A widow had a right to justice and mercy. The writer of Deuteronomy says these words in Deuteronomy 10, chapter 17. For the Lord your God, the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great God Almighty, awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. The woman continues to go to this unjust judge and demands her right. She kept coming. She continues to come back. And in the Greek, that coming back there means to become more than what the person can handle. In other words, another way the Greek says this is that she wore him out. In other words, she kept crying out and showing up until injustice got worn out. She just didn't cry, but she was persistent and determined in her mind that justice would roll down. The powerless woman wore out the powerful judge. Grace City, I come to tell you that we have to wear out injustice. This is why we have to show up to Sharp Kids for 11 years, because we're going to wear out the injustice of the education in our system. That's why we show up for Victims of Human Trafficking, because we are going to wear out the injustice of children being trafficked. This is why we show up to Nicaragua, because we're going to wear out the injustice of poverty around this world. This is why we have to show up as a diverse church, because we have to wear out the injustice of subjugation and dehumanization. This is why we have to show up at Hope Springs, because we have to wear out the injustice of the poor and the poverty. The persistency and consistency of the powerless can wear out the resistance of the powerful. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He says it in this profound way. He says, do not get weary in well-doing, because in due season you will reap if you faint not. Jesus is delayed, but they're not denied, because God hears the resonant cry and the persistency of the powerless. But a second thing I see, justice is not denied because God sees the resistance of the powerful. Here it is. He says in verse 8, I tell you, he will see that they get justice quickly. Verse 8 says that justice is coming quickly. But if we can be honest this morning, it seemed like justice is always delayed. Sometimes with justice, it seems like injustice is winning and justice is losing. And some of us are wondering and looking around at life sometimes and saying, God, what is up with that? We have to remember that radical justice is about making both parts whole. God in the story says justice is delayed, but it's not denied. But what is God waiting for, I guess you ask? See, unjust judge kept resisting to give justice. But the one that was experiencing injustice kept coming back to the unjust judge. Watch this. The persistency of the powerless helped to change the heart of the powerful. Good God Almighty. The word delay here, watch this church, it in the Greek is a very interesting word. It means to hold back anger. It literally means holding back anger. The holding back, the delay, is so that the unjust can get time to repent, so that God's anger is held back for injustice. The moral of this parable is we have to remember that God is calling us to keep praying and never give up, because injustice will be replaced by justice. And God's delay is so that those who are practicing injustice will have time to repent. Radical justice wants to make all things whole. I know we're experiencing injustice in this world, but justice is delayed, but it's not denied. Can I share with you the greatest injustice that have ever touched this planet? It was the divinity that came to earth, took on humanity to render justice by taking on that which was broken and making it whole again. He was an innocent who he knew no sin. He did no wrong, but he took on our wrong. He paid the consequences for our wrong by going to a hill called Calvary. He was beaten all night long. He hung on a cross, and he took the clothes of righteousness and put on our unrighteousness so that justice can save you and me. That is radical justice. He who knew no sin took on sin so that we might be the righteousness of God. Justice is denied because we see resistance of the powerful. But justice in our lives is called to make both sides whole.